Today is the Feast of the Ascension of our Lord. The epistle for this Mass is taken from the Acts of the Apostles. In the former book, O Theophilus, I spoke of all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day on which he was taken up. After he had given commandments through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, to them also he showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs, during 40 days appearing to them and speaking of the kingdom of God. And while eating with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, of which you have heard, said he, by my mouth, for John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. They therefore, who had come together, began to ask him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? But he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or dates which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be witnesses for me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the very ends of the earth. And when he had said this, he was lifted up before their eyes, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing up to heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white garments, and said to them, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up to heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, shall come in the same way as you have seen him going up to heaven. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Mark, chapter 16, verses 14 to 20. At that time, Jesus appeared to the 11 disciples as they were at table, and he upbraided them for their lack of faith and hardness of heart, in that they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, Go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned. And these signs shall attend those who believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall get well. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sits at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the preaching by the signs that followed. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Over the years that we have preached on this feast day, which has usually been in the evening, we have not taken the time to explain in some detail an explanation of the epistle and the gospel of this Mass. So the epistle, first to know, is that it was written by St. Luke, who wrote the Acts of the Apostles after his gospel. So that's why he, when he addresses this, no doubt, fellow Christian Theophilus, he's saying the former book, he's talking about his gospel. And now he's writing the Acts of the Apostles as a supplement, but as the first history book of the church, all inspired by the Holy Ghost to do this. And it just gives a brief summary of what happened right after our Lord's passion, death, and his resurrection. Now, maybe half of you, most of you, were here at the Easter Vigil when, just by the providence of God, we had that Mass. When we lit this Paschal candle as a great sacramental of the presence of Christ, bodily presence of his, of our Lord, sacramentally, liturgically, representing Christ as he was on earth 40 days after he rose from the dead. Now the candle has been extinguished, symbolizing now our Lord is not physically present with us in this special way because he has ascended into heaven. But as we just read, it says, when our Lord came to his friends after he rose from the dead, the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. Mary Magdalene, and then the apostles and other disciples, even up to 500, as it's recorded, he appeared to all of these people. He appeared to the apostles on Easter Sunday evening. And there he instituted the sacrament of penance. And spoke all about his testimonies about who he was. It says he showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs during 40 days, appearing to them and speaking of the kingdom of God. And in this epistle and gospel, in many ways, the first thrust of it is to see our Lord just before he ascends to his Father in heaven, going to his home. He repeats for his apostles, now they are 11, what he has done, what he has said, what he's preached, what he preached for 3 years. But the main thrust of it is a rebuke. He's angry. He upbraids them for their hardness of heart and their lack of faith. Those apostles represent us because we've just had the beautiful ceremonies and masses of Lent, of Holy Week, of Easter Week, and then of all of the Paschal tide these last 40 days. And we need to hear that rebuke because of our lack of faith, our hardness of heart, our still poor attachment to ourselves and our habits of sin after all the gifts we received. So it is a rebuke, but also it is a act of mercy on the part of Jesus Christ to the apostles and to all of us to remind us to be humble before God's gifts, not to take them for granted, and never lose hope, because he says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit who will baptize you in a few days, which is the Feast of Pentecost. And then he ascends into heaven. Now, we don't know by the events, as you've heard preached on this feast day, because most all these years, most often this Mass was offered by our Father Superior, and he gave far more details than I'm capable of. But he said the fact that he was going up into the sky, into the clouds, that's not a testimony that he went to heaven. It is the angels who who told the apostles, who appeared to them and said, "Why do you stand looking up into heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven shall come in the same way you have seen him going up to heaven." So they say the word three times, so there's no doubt about it. Jesus went back up to heaven. He ascended into heaven. Heaven is a place, not a state of being. It's a place because our Lord had a body. Anybody who knows reality, philosophy, a place is where something is, a physical thing is located. So our Lord, the Blessed Virgin Mary, probably Saint Joseph, are in a physical place. We don't know exactly where that is. But they are there. And these two readings, the Epistle and Gospel, overlap in the same event because our Lord, before he went back to heaven, he told them to preach. And they had really never done that. They had no ability. They were ordinary men, fishermen, common men for the most part. And he says, "Go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, what that means, what the church fathers say, is when he says creature, that means men, mankind. Men, women, boys, and girls. Because human beings, man is the summit of all creation. Because he has the material aspect of inanimate objects. He came from the earth. He has the senses and the ability to see, hear, etc., that he shares with animals. And then he has the highest part that he shares with the angels, a soul, immortal soul. And he says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned." And let's make sure we understand, we have said this before. People deny the existence of hell, or they say it's temporary, or it's not that bad of a place, or if someone goes there, it's just for a time, or they are with their friends. No, it is eternal. And there are souls there for all eternity because they did not believe. It was preached to them and they rejected it. They said terrible things about Jesus Christ and have hatred for our Lord, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Holy Trinity, the Catholic Church. And so they go to hell because they are condemned. So that is just a brief summary of what happened, of the historical event, to know that we have these two readings to remind us that we share in that hardness of heart that the apostles had. But we also have the beautiful, exquisite gift that comes in 9 days. That's why we have our novena, as we said on Sunday, to prepare for the coming of the Holy Ghost. Because as the prayer says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he shall renew the face of the earth. And that's what happened on Pentecost Sunday, because the Holy Spirit came with wind and tongues of fire, and it changed the whole course of history. And at the end of time, it will be a complete transformation of the earth. It will be made perfect again. Here's the definition of the event, the ascension of our Lord. It is the departure of Jesus Christ in his glorified body from this world to the right hand of God the Father in heaven, which took place in the presence of the apostles 40 days after his resurrection, traditionally on Mount of Olives. The use of the word ascension does not involve the belief that heaven is somewhere up in the sky. It is a feast kept on the 40th day after Easter Sunday to commemorate this event. After the Gospel, the principal Mass, the Paschal candle is extinguished, symbolizing the departure of our Lord from his apostles, and is one of the universal holy days of obligation. So today, Feast of the Ascension of our Lord, commonly called Ascension Thursday, is a holy day of obligation. Now, this dogma of the Ascension, this event, is so great that we cannot do it justice in terms of explaining it, because, first of all, just culturally, it doesn't seem as important as the death of Jesus Christ, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday. And in a certain way, it isn't, because Good Friday is the day of the year, the most solemn day, because it is the day Jesus Christ died. It is the death of Christ on the cross that won our salvation, that justified us and saves us. We are redeemed. Now, we had the privilege of attending a conference a few days ago by our fellow superior that went into so many details and reflections and the depth of this feast, and we are taking some of those points. I had made a sort of a promise, I'm going to come up with something original, because don't want to plagiarize our Father Superior, but it's impossible. If you're talking about the Ascension, it is so all-encompassing. But the death of Christ and his resurrection and his ascension, all are the three pillars, we could say, of the whole redemptive act of Jesus Christ, the redemptive incarnation. He became man to save us from our sins. He conquered death by his resurrection. There was no battle or conflict with Jesus, because the mere will act of Jesus rising from the dead totally smothers and puts the devil in his place. And we have to remember, though, that the Ascension completes that very act, because the right place for Jesus Christ is to be at the right hand of the Father. He's equal to the Father. He's the Son of God. So that's why there is the Ascension. He ascends by his own power, by the power of the Father and the Holy Spirit in his own power, and goes home, as we said earlier, to his Father in heaven. And he says that he goes there to prepare a place for us. Place. Again, physical place for heaven. Many mansions in heaven, meaning homes for each one of us, physical places for each one of us who has the reward of heaven. But when he goes there, he made the apostles wait for 9 days till they had the power of the Holy Spirit. So they had a time of darkness, of longing for being united with Jesus. So that's why they are hiding from now on till Pentecost Sunday in the upper room, praying with the Blessed Virgin Mary, who is interceding for them as our co-redemptrix, as our mediatrix, as the Mother of God. It is so sad when we read the history of this feast, which goes all the way back to the apostles, that over the centuries, those who departed from the faith would not observe this feast, like the Anglicans do, but Protestant churches, many of them have abandoned this observance. They call themselves disciples of the Bible, that they read the Bible, and here the Gospels, the Acts of the Apostles, have all these details about the ascension, and they don't even talk about it or recognize it, the Protestants. It's pathetic. It's sad. And the Muslims, they don't believe Jesus even was crucified or rose from the dead. But ironically, that they believe that he was raised by God and he was taken to heaven. So maybe some of them can be saved. Some kernels of truth with those who are outside the Catholic faith. When God created Adam and Eve, but Adam especially, and each one of us, every human being who has ever lived, he put in the heart of man, in our souls, a love of virtue, a love of God himself, and a desire for eternal happiness. That's why no matter what we possess, what we have, what we do, nothing satisfies us. The multi-billionaires who are famous today are often so sad. They're always trying to get new toys, new material things, new spouses, new partners, because they forget that material things are just that. They're material. They don't satisfy our souls. And that's why our souls, especially, but our bodies, are meant to ascend to heaven to follow Jesus Christ. So some years after our Lord ascended into heaven, when the Blessed Virgin Mary was older, some say she passed away when she was 72, we don't know, but it was revealed to the 12 apostles that she was about to pass away, to die. And it is, the tradition is that all the apostles were miraculously brought to her and witnessed her death, and then they call it the dormition, but it's most likely she died just like her son, almost fell asleep, and then moments later she was assumed into heaven, meaning by the power of God, drawn to heaven. So she is in heaven. And when our Lord ascended into heaven, he brought all the souls that he had visited. When it says in the Apostles' Creed, he descended into hell, meaning limbo, to visit those who were suffering, being separated from God because heaven was shut because of the sin of Adam. So all those souls, not their bodies, their souls are there in heaven. However, on Judgment Day, as it says in our readings today, that he will come again. The same way he went to heaven, he'll come again. So it's believed, scripture in the book of the Apocalypse, that Jesus Christ will come from the east, right from this direction, carrying his cross. And be on earth. And at that moment, every person who's ever lived will rise from the dead with their bodies because of the power, the dominance of Jesus Christ as our, as their creator. Even the souls in hell will come back with their bodies to face their Redeemer, Jesus Christ. However, those who are enemies of Jesus, who are hellbound, their bodies will quickly and turn into horrible torturing mechanisms, we can say, of attachment to themselves and the devil. But all the just on the right hand of Jesus Christ, they will have beautiful bodies, glorified bodies that will be similar to our Lord's, because we imitate, we come from Jesus Christ, our Creator. So a Mass like this, the main purpose, maybe we could say the two main purposes, are one, to renew, strengthen our belief in the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he truly ascended into heaven after he had received and took up his body on Easter Sunday. And the second is to help us prepare to go to heaven. If we're going home, and we're on this pilgrimage with its dangers, its pitfalls, its joys and sorrows, it helps us to get ready. And a Mass, assisting at Mass on this day, is the most perfect way. And to pray with fervor, with the Blessed Virgin Mary, ask her, Blessed Mother, obtain my salvation. I am so weak, I fall, I make mistakes, and you are my mother. And this is the month of May, where in a special way you are my mother. And you, when you were on earth, you saw everything. You are the mother of God. You saw the birth of your son, Jesus Christ. You lived with him for 30 years and taught him with your spouse, St. Joseph. And then you saw and were with him and followed him for 3 years during his public life and saw the miracles and heard the preaching. And you saw him rise from the dead and you saw him ascend into heaven. And you helped the apostles. You prayed with them. Now pray with us. Pray with me. Pray for me. Help me to be faithful. The collect of today's Mass says, Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, that we who believe thy only begotten Son, our Redeemer, to have this day ascended into heaven, may ourselves also in mind dwell amid heavenly things. So it's a prayer to God the Father, that while we're on earth, we are living in amidst, and we have in mind heavenly things, things of God, not of the world, not of the devil, not material things, but spiritual things. As you go from this chapel, look up at the beautiful window in the back of the Holy Spirit. Because every time you leave the chapel, the Holy Ghost will protect you. He'll give you the same grace as he gave the apostles. But it's not automatic, because look what the apostles did. They were praying for 9 days. That's why we so often, virtually every time we preach, say how important it is to pray. Finally, we just want to read an excerpt from the preface of today's Mass. It is fitting indeed and just, right and helpful to salvation for us always and everywhere to give thanks to you, O Holy Lord, Father Almighty, everlasting God. To thank God for his gifts, for the Mass. Through Christ our Lord, who after his resurrection appeared openly to all his disciples, and while they looked on was taken up into heaven, that he might grant us to be sharers in his own divinity. See how important that is, that last phrase, sharers in his own divinity. That began when we were baptized by our sanctifying grace. That gift from God that we hear spoken about, we read in our catechism, but it is everything. Sharing God's life. That we must, with all our hearts, want to have in our souls, in our bodies. It's called the indwelling of the Holy Trinity, which is meaning the Holy Trinity is present with us along with sanctifying grace, which is a created share in God's life. We're repeating it because I don't think we appreciate how great a gift that is. That is how we get to heaven, by being in the state of grace. If we don't have the state of grace when we die, we will lose everything. We won't be able to go home. We'll be locked out. Finally, I want to just give you a couple reflections from the Divine Office today. It's a sermon by Saint Leo the Great, who is Pope. He said, on a sermon that he gave on this feast day, his first sermon, after the blessed and glorious resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, wherein he raised up in 3 days that true temple of God, which had been destroyed by the ungodly Jews, there is this day fulfilled, dearly beloved, that number of 40 holy days, which has been ordained by a most sacred dispensation and spent in giving us valuable instructions, so that while the Lord permitted his bodily presence to remain among us for this space of time, our faith in his resurrection might be strengthened by necessary proofs. For the death of Christ had greatly disturbed the hearts of the disciples, and a certain lethargy of disbelief had crept over their grief-laden minds at his torture on the cross, and at his giving up the Spirit, and at the burial of his lifeless body. Thus, the most blessed apostles and all the disciples who had been full of fear at the finishing on the cross and uncertain in faith concerning the resurrection were so strengthened by the clear vision of the truth that when the Lord was going up into the heights of heaven, they were not troubled by any sadness, but rather were filled with great joy. And in truth, it was a great and unspeakable cause for rejoicing when in the sight of a holy multitude, human nature ascended above the dignity of all celestial creatures to pass above the ranks of the angels, to be raised beyond the heights of the archangels, and not to have any degree of loftiness set as a limit to its advancement, short of the right hand of the Eternal Father, where it would be associated to his royal glory, to whose nature it was united in the Son. Since then, Christ's ascension is our own exaltation, and where the glory of the head has gone before, there also is the hope of the body summoned. Let us, dearly beloved, rejoice with due rejoicing, and be glad, devoutly giving thanks. For today, not only have we been confirmed in the possession of paradise, but in Christ we have penetrated even the height of heaven, having gained, through the ineffable grace of Christ, far more than we lost through the malice of the devil. For those whom that venomous enemy cast down from the happiness of their first estate, these has the Son of God made to be one body with himself, and placed at the right hand of the Father, with whom he lives and reigns in the unity of the Holy Ghost, God through all eternity. Amen. What a beautiful statement by a great saint and a great pope of the past, who speaks as if he were right here, to emphasize how important this feast is, this dogma, this event. It is our, you could say, our ticket, our guarantee to get to heaven if we just follow Jesus Christ, our Savior. May God bless you.